Several weeks ago, many in the world turned their attention to the Summer Olympics. To see the many athletes perform in their respective sport was nothing but amazing. World records were challenged and broken. The beauty of watching near perfection in body coordination and endurance was sometimes totally unbelievable. And I think everybody had to be in awe of how the gymnasts could physically do what they did. To watch the athletes, we often almost write them off by saying, what gifted people they are. To do this is to deny the unbelievable sacrifice they had to make in order to achieve their dreams and goals. To have such determination and commitment to be the best that they could possibly be, perhaps is beyond the comprehension of most of us. When determination and commitment take over one's life, then the sacrifice which is made does not seem that all bad, because it's a way to achieve a goal. Now, the Olympics are a lesson in life for all of us. We may be gifted. We may have certain talents. But if we do not have the desire, the determination, and commitment to develop them, then they just lay dormant. And we may never have the joy of sharing them with others. You know, often which holds us back is that we do not want to make the sacrifice in order to reach their fulfillment. Without that sacrifice, the gifts and talents we may have are if they never existed. And the rewards which they could bring are never realized. You know, this is true in almost every aspect of life. In order to achieve almost anything, there must be that desire and determination, commitment, and sacrifice to do so. It is also true that we can only get lasting satisfaction and a sense of worth and purpose when we sacrifice in order to overcome the challenges of life. We only get out of something by giving something. Sacrifice brings with it a commitment and involvement, producing lasting rewards and fulfillment. Now, this is exactly the point that Jesus was making in the gospel lesson this morning. He was confronting his followers with what it takes to be his disciple. He related that the key to discipleship was the sacrifice of what was otherwise important in life. He emphasized the point by making what seems to be a very unconscionable statement. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whew. Harsh words. Now, did Jesus literally mean to hate father and mother and so on? Not exactly. For in the truest tradition of Mideastern culture and expressions, often an extreme exaggeration is presented to emphasize a point and not to be taken literally. In this instance, Jesus was saying that in order to be his disciples, it means that one's life must radically change. This change has as its priority to be committed to God's message as found through him. All other earthly pursuits, all other earthly desires must be placed in proper relationship to the life in Christ. By giving one's life to this discipleship does mean sacrifice. And often the sacrifice of that which had been previously held very dear to us. In making such a sacrifice and living as a disciple of Christ, relationships take on new and even more meaningful place in one's life. These new relationships will be dominated by God's love and his forgiveness, not by duty or even what can be selfishly gained by them. This sacrifice brings with it a whole new life and a whole new meaning to life. Jesus went on to say that many of his followers only hear and see what they want to hear and see. They only hear and see that which they want to get out of Jesus' message. That is, what they want to hear. You know the kind. These are the easy come, easy go followers. They want the love and the forgiveness which Jesus talks about. Or they may want to be healed from the pain and suffering of sickness and the brokenness of body. And they dance around the periphery of Jesus' life, thinking that they have experienced all of the life in Christ. They think discipleship and God's message requires no more. And to this Jesus says, not exactly so. Wrong. He goes on to say that to be his disciple, one must first know that it will be costly. The life in Christ cannot be entered into blindly and expect to survive the life of discipleship. He gives this illustration. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether it has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Now, this illustration may be readily understood and vivid to those of us who live through the middle of the 20th century. At that time, it was somewhat commonplace then to build a basement without a superstructure or building on top of it. Churches and even homeowners utilized this practice of worshiping and living in basements until there was enough money to complete the building. I can still visualize the first church that I attended as a very, very young child, which did just that. It was a basement church. Sometimes it may have taken years or even decades to see a completed structure. And in many ways, it made a lot of sense. But I can remember people remarking of those who lived in such a basement, how can they live like that? Jesus, though, used this illustration to say that When entering such a project as building a structure, one must first assess what it will take to complete the project. You just do not start without knowing the cost involved. Then he minces no words in stating the cost of discipleship. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. Again, though, Jesus exaggerates to make a point. The possessions which must be sacrificed are those earthly treasures which drive our lives in order to obtain and maintain them. They control our lives. They're the possessions. If our primary motivation in life is to gain personal wealth, pride, and power, that is what must be changed if that controls us. The motivation which should control us is that of God's love and forgiveness as it is lived throughout our lives. This is the motivation which brings us the ultimate reward, the eternal glory with God. Now, to enter the life in Christ without first knowing that it will require sacrifice is to play the game of make-believe. Such so-called followers of Christ are a dime a dozen. Ultimately, they fail to realize the fruits of disciples when they come to realize that the cost of discipleship just may be too high of a price to pay. In our privileged society, such a cost can be very difficult to comprehend, but not at all impossible. Even though sacrifice may be foreign to us, we do have examples that it actually is present. You know, it's hard to believe that it has been 15 years since we all experienced the most dramatic example of this sacrifice. 9-1-1. One only has to remember those first responders, firefighters, policemen, and even airline passengers, to evidence such a sacrifice. Now, the sacrifices which we are asked to take and make may not be so life-threatening as that, but may be life-changing. The question we must daily ask ourselves, daily, is, are we ready today, now, the next moment, to make the necessary sacrifices which come with true discipleship in Christ? Are we ready to pay the price of giving ourselves in love? That's what Jesus is asking. That's what this gospel lesson is all about. Are we ready to pay the price of giving ourselves in love to our fellow beings, to God?